Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. Tomorrow on the program, it is the Friday Roundtable. We will have Brian McDaniel, comedian Brian Miller, in for the roundtable. We will play your Friday news quiz tomorrow, and the prize for the listener who correctly predicts the winner of the Friday news quiz is going to be a pair of tickets to the Center of the American Experiment's dinner with Candace Owens. That's happening on Saturday night. We'll be there.
Yes, we will.
The winner can come over and say hi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all going to be there.
Like all three of us.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Senator Ted Cruz said it was important to fund Trump's Space Force.
It is.
In order to prevent space pirates.
Well, okay.
He's got a point.
I mean, okay. I'm not crazy about that name.
What else you call them, though? I don't know. Marauders? Trust me, man. I've struggled with trying to come with good names to call people like this out in space. It's hard.
Space Raiders.
Space Raiders. Ooh, I know. Space Raiders. I've used all of them at one point in time. Yeah. It is not easy. Mm. It is not easy.
But he's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Since the ancient Greeks first put to sea, nations have recognized the necessity of naval forces and maintaining superior capability to protect waterborne travel and commerce from bad actors. This was at a hearing. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Aviation and Space. Okay, so he's supposed to be talking on such matters. Pirates threaten the open seas, and the same is possible in space. In the same way, I believe we too must now recognize the necessity of a space force to defend the nation, to protect space commerce and civil space exploration.
It's not just space commerce and civil space exploration. I mean, those are some of the more high-profile things, but it's national security.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about people, hijacking, hacking into, taking advantage of the thousands of satellites that are hovering around this Earth, transmitting data, transmitting information, a lot of it very sensitive, and a lot of it having to do with national security.
He said pirates threaten the open seas, same as possible in space. I believe we must now recognize the necessity of space of a space force to defend the nation and protect space commerce and civil space exploration we've been talking about. You're looking at $2 billion to get it off the ground, according to the CBO. The military branch for the Space Force would need about 5,400 to 7,800 new personnel. That would add about another $1 billion to the Pentagon's annual costs. The Pentagon says that the Space Force should exist within its own branch of the military, arguing that its necessity is inevitable as China and Russia sharpen their focus on space. The defense spending bill would give $15 million to study the implementation of the Space Force. Do we need $15 billion for a study? I know with the billions it's kind of a pittance, but at the same time,
I mean, what do they really got to do? Just like look at the sky,
there's a lot of space up there.
Yeah, a lot of space.
I'd shoot that star. Yeah. I'd shoot that star.
And like, okay, so like, and maybe like, okay, look at a map of all the countries and be like, they might be interested in a space force,
right,
too, so maybe we should have our own. That's your study. If they want to pay me $15 million, I'll do it.
I'll do it for 15 bucks.
Right, yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Trump has signed off on the setup of the U.S. Space Command. Lawmakers have demonstrated, of course, because Orange Man bad. We say Orange Man rad. Skepticism over the administration's Space Force plans, questioning the specifics of the Trump proposal and the need for a new service at all. Okay, look, did a little bit of Googling, as I want to do. You want to take a stab at how many man hours it takes to build a single F-35 fighter jet? 41,500 man hours. That's the labor hours that it costs to build an F-35A fighter jet. It takes, roughly, to build an aircraft carrier, it's roughly the article that I found said 5 to 6 years unless it takes 10 to 12. That's what it said. It was like an official, like, army, military, sort of 5 to 6 years, unless it takes 10 to 12.
In which case, it could take 15 to 20.
Right.
That's like when you go to college, just be like, should take you 4 years, might take
right.
a six.
So the point here, and the larger point to drive home, is that you have to start somewhere, right? And this is going to be an incredibly costly, however necessary, endeavor in the future. And if you're going, well, why? Well, look at some of the news this week that isn't being talked about in a lot of the mainstream media, but if you pay attention to this stuff, SpaceX just did another launch. You've got SpaceX and space tourism, right, growing exponentially at this point in time. Right. Elon Musk is super close to developing a reusable re-entry rocket. I mean, and that's your first step of really being able to not just offer tourism to space, but also space exploration. If you're able to do what's only been seen in movies, and that is actually use a spaceship to go up, but then be able to bring it back down in one piece with the single rocket. And so we're heading that direction. We are going to be populating space. We already know what, you know, China and other nations and countries are doing. So you've got to, it takes a long time to build this stuff up and to also research it.
And we're behind other nations.
Yes.
We are way behind other nations when it comes to, I don't want to call it the militarization of space, but the ability to sort of defend our space assets. We are way behind China. We are, I believe we're behind Russia as well.
Yeah.
Mike in Hutchinson, good morning.
Yeah. Did you guys know that Netflix actually has a show that they're working on about the U.S. Space Force?
Yes. It's a comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was like a documentary.
No. There is a great Chinese science fiction movie that's on there right now called Wandering Earth, which I would encourage everybody to check out. But that be that as it may.
Don't watch Wine Country.
I watched a bit of that based off our conversation. I'm with you wholeheartedly in the assessment of that. It's easy. It's ripe for mocking. And, you know, Trump, you say Trump and Trump says Space Force. Everyone goes like, what? But look, we are heading that direction. And if you want to talk about defense, when you've got things in space that can drop stuff to Earth, you don't need nukes anymore.
Right.
you don't.
Right.
That's not a necessity to have, you know, if you're able to put up an object and drop it from orbit, it falls. That's your nuke right there, and it's just a piece of metal.
I mean, I get it. Space Force, easy to mock, ripe for mocking. Space Pirates, easy to mock, ripe for mocking. But these are real legitimate issues. Defending our assets in space and the ability to protect ourselves from hostile activities taking place from space and defending our satellites. I mean, imagine the chaos and anarchy if our satellites got wiped out.
Right.
Well, everybody's going to make...
Just in a day. Just imagine what would happen.
Yeah, everybody will make fun of Space Force until we need a Space Force.
Right.
And then you're way too far behind.
I'll take Space Force billions over Green New Deal billions any day of the week. God, that video, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, we should pull the audio from it that she had. I think you had retweeted it yesterday. She was at a Green New Deal press conference, and I think Bill de Blasio was there, too.
Yeah.
Just the ridiculous nonsense that she continues to spew about the Green New Deal.
I'm getting like, very angry with her. And I don't typically get angry at these sort of things because she keeps wavering back and forth from, you know, if we don't act now, the world's going to end. We're all going to die. We have to do this to protect our children and our grandchildren and all this stuff. But then when she starts getting criticized and called out on some of the statements that she makes, she defaults to, oh, you know, you're just fact checking my sarcasm. You're just fact checking my dry humor. Kids are freaking out. High school kids, you know, younger kids, they are legitimately freaking out and very concerned. And there have even been suicides over this notion that if we don't act on climate change now, we've only got 12 years left on this planet. And that is in large part because of her and her words and the things that she has said. So when she doesn't want any accountability for the words that she says, then she needs to stop talking about how the world's going to end if we don't adopt her socialist agenda, because that's what it is. It's not an environmental agenda. It's a socialist agenda.
Yeah. With great influence comes great responsibility. And if you're, and for that example, if you are an influencer, there are certain things you cannot do, right? As talk show hosts, there are certain things we cannot do and say. And you are 100% correct. Her going out there with the amount of coverage that she gets and the amount of influence that she has as a, you know, as a part of Washington, D.C., you know, right? As a, you know, as her role as an elected official. No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to go out there and say the world's ending in 12 years, have people go and can you verify that? No, I was just kidding. I was just joking around. You guys shouldn't be fact-checking me. I was being sarcastic. And then follow it up and say the world's going to end again when you clearly are not joking. Because that speech that she gave the other day, she clearly was. There was no sarcasm there. No, she was being deadly serious.
No, that's just her out when she starts getting called on specifics of what she says.
651-989-5855. They're still working on specifics at the Capitol. Trio of legislators had a they had a planned meeting. They had a planned agreement to meet yesterday. The deadline then came and went. Leaders were holed up in a conference room at the Capitol on Tuesday for hours, worked into early Wednesday morning before breaking. They were back at it Wednesday morning and had a series of meetings, but then they gave little indication of any kind of progress they were making. Walz said this, the reason for the lack of comments on this is we are at a really important time. There's a lot of candid conversations happening. So the reason why there's a lack of comments is because it's important and they're having conversations.
Well, they don't want to disrupt negotiations. Like, if there's some serious deal making going on behind the scenes, which it sounds like there is, and again, you know, this is the same thing we've seen session after session after session, and I hope all of the DFL's promises, you know, at the beginning of this session that they were going to do things differently and there was going to be transparency and it wasn't going to be a bunch of last minute deal making, you know, happening behind closed doors with just a handful of leaders, that the rest of the caucus is expected to just go along with whatever they decide on. I hope those words come back to haunt them. Yeah. I hope they're used against them, because what a joke. What an absolute joke. That's what's happening. You've got Gazelka, Hortman, and Walz, and probably Flanagan, and maybe a few key other people in there working out, hammering out all of these deals right now, and they're going to come back to the legislature, and they're going to go, here's everything we agreed on. Vote on it now. Quick. Don't read it. Quick. Vote on it.
Gazelka said that they were making progress. We're working through the budget. The fact that we were there that long should say something. The Star Tribune article, Drew, they said little to the assembled media Wednesday before stepping into a conference room to continue negotiating. Walz pointed to the Diet Mountain Dew in his hand, his signature beverage, and said that he was on his third of the day.
Whoa.
What? That's a poor example.
Whoa.
I mean, look, I love me some Diet Mountain Dew, but three in a day?
Well, what size were they? I mean, that's really key. If you're talking about, like, the liter.
No, I think you're just talking about
that's quite a bit. But if it's a 20-ounce, yeah, that's fine.
Sam, 20-ounce, three Diet Mountain Dews in one day.
That's fine.
20-ounce.
That's fine.
I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't really drink soda.
He's setting a poor example.
I don't drink soda.
I don't.
I'm not a soda.
He's having too much.
Bad for you.
I didn't say it's bad for you.
I'm better than you.
I just don't drink it.
The children are obese and Walz is having three Diet Mountain. I'm putting you a break.
Right? It's diet.
It's not. Okay, now you're going to get me fired up. Diet doesn't make it better.
It makes it less, it does make it better in terms of some respect. There's no calories. There's no sugar.
Do we want to get into aspartame?
No.
I can get Melinda on the phone.
Or artificial sweeteners. Oh, don't even get me started.
Let's go here instead and rag on the editorial.
It depends on what your priorities are.
It does. It does.
You know, and some of us, our priorities are better than others.
You like fizzy corn syrup?
There's no corn syrup in diet.
You're right. I don't know if that's true or not. So, maybe.
Star Tribune. Minnesota leaders, don't neglect these three budget rules. There are some basics that the governor and the legislature must keep top of mind. Okay, so I went in this with an open mind. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it because it's not necessary. However, I'm like, you know what? Let's see if they can be bipartisan at all. Let's see. Okay. Right? Three budget rules.
Mm-hmm.
The first rule, don't use one-time money for ongoing spending. Well, that goes out the window. We've already shown our hand on rule number one. If you buy a lottery ticket and win $500, you don't run right out and buy a $30,000 car just because now you can afford the first month's payment. You need to be able to cover those payments for the duration. And as leaders negotiate on tax and spending levels, there are one-time pots of money that prove biennial temptations. But they completely miss the fact that the GOP already went and slated new money for what they... Second rule, inflation is real. Okay, well, there's your There's your gas tax, right? That's why you got to have the gas tax. And then the last one, finally, a third good rule. Good budgeting requires flexibility. This whole thing is just all, you know, GOP, just do what the DFL wants.
Just do it. Just come on, you know?
Yeah, be flexible, GOP.
Yeah, it's all that it is.
Don't be flexible, DFL.
No. Of course not. Of course not.
No flexibility required from them whatsoever.
All right, let's go here. City Pages. City planners want more a more pedestrian-friendly Minneapolis. And drive-thrus.
City planners need to stop being city planners.
Tend to throw a wrench into things. So, that's the question the city is asking itself now when it comes to drive-thrus. On Thursday, the Minneapolis Planning Commission will entertain an all-out ban on new drive-thrus throughout the city.
But why?
Yep.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why. Then they're all really stupid. Now, the City Pages says there's plenty of people who love drive-thrus. It's easy to see why. And then they list off all the reasons, right? Quick, convenient, you know, don't require leaving your car, parents with children, disabled. Okay. Then you get to this. But love them or not, there are plenty of cases against them. Okay?
Are there?
Well, they say at their best, they mean more paved surfaces, slick with polluted runoff.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
What? That's their first objection?
Right. But if you...
Because if you're advocating for more pedestrian-friendly, you're still going to need those paved surfaces.
Right.
Nobody's suggesting that we turn our sidewalks into dirt.
Right.
Right?
And you're probably going to need more parking.
You want more bike lanes. Those are also paved.
They say more curb cutouts where pedestrians will have to dodge traffic and the occasional...
Just use normal words, City Page.
Yeah, please.
The occasional phalanx? I don't know how to pronounce that word.
The occasional lining up of cars blocking sideways.
Phalanx?
Sure. And that usually takes care of itself. I don't know about you, but if I don't go through drive-thrus very often anymore, but if there's a long line of cars, usually that tail end of the line stops before it ends up blocking any traffic, because you don't want to be that idiot, nor do you want to wait in that line. Usually I just go in.
There's not a lot of drive-thrus in downtown Minneapolis anyway, and that's what they're really referring to. They're not talking about sort of the outskirts of Minneapolis. They're talking about downtown Minneapolis.
You're not seeing drive-thrus in the heart of downtown, are you?
There's not that many already. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, a real problem here. They just want to stop new ones, and it is, you could throw all of these reasons out the window because it's all BS. All of these other reasons they're giving. It's one thing and one thing only. They want to discourage single occupancy vehicle use.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to. They want to do everything they can to discourage and make it harder and more inconvenient to drive your car by yourself in and around the city of Minneapolis. And if they take away drive-thrus, that's just one less reason why people would ever choose to drive their evil single-occupancy vehicle.
Well, and then there's the din of engines and the spew of empty Taco Bell cups and Whopper wrappers neighbors often deal with. And so getting rid of drive-thru is going to eliminate that? No, you're just going to have them parking and then leaving that stuff if they're already doing that in the parking lot. It's not going to change anything. And you're right. They do address that in the story. It's buried deep in the story. And we'll provide you a few more details from this. Take your phone calls, too. 651-989-5855. We have a subsequent story, too, Drew, that we'll get to in regards to this. You know, we had the they were going to serve the hors d'oeuvres for the I-35 traffic, right?
Yeah. Right? They were going to bring out like a little sampler platters and finger sandwiches.
Well, maybe they got the idea from Los Angeles, where I guess there's one fast food chain that is planning to deliver Whoppers to drivers stuck in traffic.
I like it. I'm a fan.
We'll give you details.
FM.
We will get into a little bit more from the City Pages article, including we're going to be, Drew's just done some digging in terms of the grammar police.
Well,
something needs to be pointed out. Yeah, that doesn't
make any sense.
That's relevant here on Twin Cities News Talk. We'll also get into the ban in San Francisco of the use of facial recognition tech and vampire raccoons. Zombie raccoons. Zombie raccoons is still on the agenda.
But vampire raccoons also would be pretty cool.
Joining us now, though, John Hinderacher from Center of the American Experiment. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I mentioned earlier that our prize for tomorrow for the winner of whoever correctly predicts the winner of the news quiz will be a pair of tickets to your annual dinner featuring Candace Owens. Tell us a little bit more about what people can expect out of this dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's Saturday night. First of all, it's coming up day after tomorrow, so it's right around the corner. We've sold over 900 tickets. We're hoping for a crowd of 1,000 or more. So this is kind of a last chance opportunity either to win those free tickets or to buy tickets. You can do that too, of course. And the event, it's Saturday night. It is at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Minneapolis, 1001 South Marquette. It starts with a cocktail party reception at 5:30 on Saturday. Dinner is at about 7 o'clock on Saturday night, and the event will be over by 9:30. I think most of our listeners probably know who Candace Owens is. She burst onto the scene not much over a year ago with a series of just electric videos promoting conservative ideas and values, particularly to a black audience. And she was director of communications for Turning Point USA. She has now left that position to focus full-time on her project, which she calls Blexit. And Blexit is the black exit from the liberal plantation. She is encouraging African Americans across the country as she goes from city to city to stop voting for people who have destroyed their families, who damage our economy, who don't represent either their interests or their values. So she is, I think, the number one messenger of conservative ideas to the African American community. And honestly, in my opinion, I think Candace Owens is the second most important person in the United States after President Donald Trump. She is a dynamic speaker, to put it mildly.
Yeah, she's incredible.
I'm sure some of our listeners have seen video of her epic appearance before that House committee just a couple of weeks ago when she was invited to testify on race and hate crimes, and the Democrats tried to go after her, and she shoved it right back at them. I think millions of people have seen videos of that congressional testimony. So I would really encourage our listeners, if you can do it on Saturday night, this is going to be one of the truly great events of the year.
She's an amazing speaker. We saw her speak at an earlier Center, the American Experiment event, and I was blown away. I mean, she's phenomenal, and you're right. I think she's probably one of the most important and influential voices in all of politics right now. So that's coming Saturday night after tomorrow at the Hilton Minneapolis. Go to americanexperiment.org for more information. I will tweet out a link as well using the hashtag TCNT if you want to buy tickets. John, Sam, and myself will be there. We're very much looking forward to it. And we got those tickets, as I mentioned, to give away on tomorrow's program. John, thanks for calling in.
We'll see you there, man.
Thank you very much. americanexperiment.org. You can buy your tickets there. Thanks, guys.
We'll see you tomorrow.
So Hannah Jones in the City Pages apparently had her thesaurus open. I'm not going to mock it. I use it when I write. Just trying to find different words. Minneapolis considers a ban on new drive-through windows. Although she should have known that one of the words she used doesn't really fit.
Well, I don't want to get hung up on it. But
I do.
I was just curious about why she chose the word phalanx or phalangs, and I had to look it up because I've seen that word in writing, but I don't know that I've ever heard it spoken, so I had to...
Oh, my gosh. Right. I just looked it up, too.
So it says... So talking about the drive-thrus, right, there are plenty of reasons to love them. Easy to see why, and then she lists them out. And then she says, but love them or not, there's cases against them. At their best, they mean more paved surfaces, slick with polluted runoff, more curb cutouts where pedestrians will have to dodge traffic, and the occasional phalanx of queuing cars blocking sidewalks.
Yeah, and I don't know that she's using that word correctly, because I looked it up, and there's two definitions there. One is a bone of the finger or toe, which I'm positive that's not what she meant.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's the Phoebe joke, phalanges. She always uses her fingers, right?
Yeah, okay. The other is a rectangular mass of a military formation, a body of troops or police officers standing or moving in close formation, usually composed entirely of heavy infantry, armed with spears, pikes, or similar pole weapons. So it's like the front lines of the battles that you'd see on Game of Thrones.
Okay, if that's who's queuing up in Minneapolis drive-thrus, then yeah, let's get rid of them.
We need to get rid of them all.
Yeah, if that's the case. Right.
We don't need pole weapons being wielded about willy-nilly across Minneapolis. Sounds very dangerous.
It does.
It does. It does. I do have the pronunciation. I Googled how to pronounce phalanx, and this is what I got. I got a YouTube video.
Phalanx.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Phalanx.
You're using it wrong, Hannah Jones. Go back to cursing, which you do in the article as well. Is that a prerequisite to be a City Pages article? I hate to be
I think it's just one of those things like, ooh, we're allowed to.
Oh, it's cool. Okay.
All right.
Great.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to
this. It's like people discovering podcasting for the first time. Wait, we're allowed to curse on this?
Cool.
Neat.
So she goes on to say, at their worst, they can be destructive and even dangerous.
What?
As evidence, one need only remember the countless headaches and near misses caused by the Starbucks drive-thru on Snelling and Marshall Avenues in St. Paul, all of which earned the bedeviled spot its own hashtag Carbucks, and its own designated traffic cop. That was St. Paul, and it's one story. Okay, whatever.
I also have issues with people blaming the Starbucks drive-thru for all their problems when really it's the dummies driving through the drive-thru.
Yeah, right, right.
It's not the poor drive-thru's fault.
Isn't that typical, right?
Typical.
It's the car.
Yes.
You know, not right. The drive-thru. Right. Everyone will look at it. City Council President Lisa Bender, who is the champion of this ordinance, didn't respond to interview requests. The biggest issue...
I'm beginning to realize that line is in every City Pages story. Did not respond to interview requests.
I know how that works.
I can just see like City Pages writers calling in. Everybody's, no, man, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah. I'm talking to the City Pages.
I'm talking to the City Pages.
Because they put out garbage articles.
Garbage. You guys print garbage.
They're not trying very hard. I've been in this situation. They're not trying very hard.
It's a phalanx of garbage.
Yeah. There was a moment in time during a political season after I wasn't the moment, the,
I know
the
what
time
we're talking
when,
about.
Yeah, the time when we weren't working together, when suddenly this idea of, you know, equal time came into play and we were interviewing candidates. And it's like, well, you need to reach out to all the candidates to ask everybody to come on. It's like, I don't want to talk to those yahoos. You know, you need to ask them. I don't want... No, you have to. It's the law. It's not the law. You don't know what you're talking about.
It's not the law.
No. So I did. I reached out to all of them. I emailed. They didn't respond.
Yep.
So big I could say the same thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Didn't respond to a request for interview. The biggest issue, though, and Drew, you pointed this out, and they do mention in the article, is they effectively encourage people to drive. And that's the opposite of what city planners want for Minneapolis. Okay, let's stop for just a moment. Does not every business encourage people to drive? Unless you live right next door.
Right.
I mean, any sort of establishment is encouraging you to drive. Right. I'm sorry.
Please drive to me. Yeah.
You're right.
Right.
Well, that's why they have parking lots for people to drive. So they can go there, buy their tasty food. When they envision the city's future, they see a lot more pedestrians and a lot fewer cars. They see unobstructed sidewalks and less traffic and more room for housing and offices in place of parking lots. Okay, in order to reach that broader vision, they've been taking small calculated steps to make it harder to be a driver. Banning future drive-thrus would just be one of them.
That's the point.
Right.
That's all that they're thinking about here. That's the only reason they're thinking about doing this. Don't let any of these other ancillary reasons fool you. Don't buy into any of these other arguments. It's all about eliminating, eventually, you know, the single occupancy vehicle.
Okay, then let's help out the city council in this regard, okay? Okay, right. So go big or go home.
Right?
Okay, go big or go home. Let's get rid of all the parking garages. Okay, let's go ahead and get rid of the baseball field. Let's go ahead and get rid of the convention center. Let's go ahead and get rid of the Vikings and U.S. Bank Stadium. Let's ban all the concerts from coming into town. Acme Comedy Company, sorry, your parking is gone and you might as well just go ahead and close up shop. If you're gonna do this, then go big or go home, because this will do nothing This will do nothing to curtail driving in downtown Minneapolis. It's as futile as the person who's desperately trying to get us to stop using styrofoam cups in the break room.
This is what this shows you, the futility of their efforts, because they'll never get rid of those things that draw people downtown. They want all the people there. They want all the people there spending the money. They just don't want them driving there anymore. They really, really are just tired of seeing all these cars, all these single occupancy vehicles, all these people who would dare ever drive around by themselves in a car. What a waste. They want, but they want the bodies there. They want you there for the Twins games. They want you there for the Vikings games. They want you there for the concerts, the comedy shows, all of the events, and they want your money. But they just want to make it really hard for you to get there, and even harder to park.
I'll go one other place on that. They just want to make it seem like they are. They just want to feel like they've done something. This is pointless. This is a futile effort. They just want, this is, again, it's just that sort of self-righteousness that they have. Well, we're doing our part by getting rid of the drive-thrus. The article wraps up, if Minneapolis does manage to pull this off, existing pickup windows will still be there, and many stores like Target are evolving new delivery and pickup options that eliminate the need for a drive-thru altogether. The ban will amount
to... Hold on. Are you still driving? Are you still not getting out of your car and having goods delivered to you? It's still a drive-thru then.
Right.
But it's Target, and it seems better.
The ban will amount to a small adjustment, but a significant one if you factor it into a broader plan. But that's only if Thursday is just the beginning of what's sure to be a long conversation. It shouldn't be. It should be the end of the conversation. The first public hearing on the matter should take place on June 3rd. If all goes according to plan, the ordinance will come before the city council for the first time June 27th. You can expect a full hearing and vote by July 12th. On banning any new drive-thrus.
And what amazes me is they've been working on this for 3 years.
Wow.
Not the incompetence of government. It's been 3 years that they've been bandying this about.
What about pharmacies?
That would be included.
What if you want to open a new Walgreens? I guess, Walgreens and CVS aren't going to want to bother.
And if you are disabled and you have, you know, mobility issues and things like that, those drive-thru pharmacies are a godsend.
How do people vote for such stupid people? Why do they vote for such stupid people? It just takes half. You can do a fraction of your brain to figure out the nonsense and just how futile this is.
Mm-hmm.
It just drives me nuts.
651-989-5855. Got a few people that want to chime on this. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take
FM.
Final segment of your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. John, we've had a couple of listeners contact us. There is a variation of the word phalanx that does appropriately describe.
I saw the tweet. It's wrong. I saw that.
I think it's wrong.
Yeah, they're not right. They're not right. I don't know what they're looking at.
you're going to hold firm on this one.
Yeah.
So I am looking at the dictionary, the actual dictionary.com definitions, and you've got a body of troops or police officers standing or moving in close formation with a bullet point below that saying a group of people or things of similar type forming a compact body, which I guess is the closest that you could kind of maybe say is how it was used. It could also...
That's what it is. That's how she intended it.
Yes.
Backing all the way up, we were working through a City Pages article where Hannah Jones had used this word phalanx when talking about cars queuing up in a drive-thru because the Minneapolis City Council is looking to take a vote sometime in July to ban any new drive-thrus in Minneapolis from being built, citing stuff. And so just the use of that word threw us for a loop, because at least for me, I'm a simpleton. So, I just use just queuing of cars. We're good.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It was unnecessary.
Yeah, no. It was very pink, pink, pinkies up.
Look what I can do.
I own a dictionary.
Several people want to chime in on this banning of new drive-thrus in Minneapolis. Jerry and Egan, good morning.
Hey guys. It's been a while. So in the last couple of years, the Minneapolis Council has imposed ridiculous restrictions on developers, $15 minimum wage, put traffic snarling bike lanes in almost every major thoroughfare, banned plastic bags and imposed a fee on paper, but that was overruled by the legislature. And now this, I've got a suggestion. They could take the rest of the year off. Why don't they just pass an ordinance that says all economic activity shall hereby be banned in Minneapolis?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what they're chipping away at. That's the part of it, Jerry, that I get frustrated by. It's like, you know, if you're going to do it, then own it. Own it and go all in. And I know we're being ridiculous, but the truth is, you're not chipping away at what your stated goal is of reducing drivers. You're chipping away at actual businesses and their ability to go and provide tax revenue by doing business in Minneapolis. That's what you're actually chipping away at.
Yeah, and it's not shipping. I mean, they're doing it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, you're right.
Mike in Roseville, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys? Hey, yeah, I think you're totally right. This is just all about door on cars. I was on the planning commission in my suburb for about 8 years, and we got a number of requests for businesses for drive-through windows to be added on, donut shops, coffee shops, whatever. And, you know, they're reviewed pretty carefully, and I have to assume Minneapolis has the same process. Look at it and say, okay, it wouldn't get permit or the variance unless they showed studies that demonstrated there wouldn't be, you know, phalanxes building up or danger to kids at bus stops or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, there's already a process in place to look at those things case by case. And then secondly, you know, the Starbucks that's cited in St. Paul, I drive by that almost every day. It's a mess. It's a disaster. But that's just a failure of that system. That was a mistake. That was a bad planning outcome. Mm-hmm. That says nothing about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that work really, really well. So,
yeah.
A, you don't need the process, already process in place, and B, to cite that as an example, it's another, you know, where, oh, one bad thing happened, let's ban everything. It's just silly.
It's incredibly silly, Mike, and I appreciate your call, and it's a fantastic point. You know, there are already processes in place. An outright blanket ban is not necessary, is not warranted when everyone that is being proposed requires approval from the Planning Commission already.
Well, and let's add one more thing into this conversation as well about how futile this is. First off, and they mentioned this in the story, you already have a lot of delivery services that are beginning to get their foothold, even places like Target and Walmart, right? So you can reduce the amount of cars in the parking lots in and of themselves because of the fact that they're going to be doing not just home deliveries, but you can call ahead and pick up your stuff. However, if a business does decide to go ahead and open in Minneapolis and they want to do food, you're probably going to have businesses looking at deliveries over having a drive-through.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
you're going to increase the demand for things like, you know, prescription delivery.
Right.
For things like Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever, you know, food delivery service you'd like to use. Absolutely.
You're going
to
inadvertently increase the driving.
Yes.
If a business decides they even want to go there.
And that's a perfect encapsulation of most government programs.
Yeah.
It exacerbates the problem that it is looking to eliminate.
After a successful test in Mexico City, according to CBS, fast food chain Burger King will begin delivering food to drivers caught in traffic in Los Angeles in what they have dubbed the Traffic Jam Whopper.
Brilliant.
Direct-to-car delivery service will use motorcyclists to deliver food to those stuck in traffic jams using real-time data to pinpoint Burger King fans on the road.
You're already seeing, I think Domino's has started to do this, and they've limited it to very specific areas, but if you're just outside, like at a park or on a beach or whatever, and you want some Domino's delivered to you, you can use your phone and you can use the GPS on your phone, and as long as you're in within their approved area, you know, you don't have to be at a physical address to get food delivered to you. So this is already starting, and I think it's absolutely brilliant.
You already have motorcyclists in Los Angeles that dodge in and out of traffic. And if you're sitting back going, well, dangerous and how bad is it? And I know people have sat in traffic before. Trust me, in Los Angeles, it's that bad. I mean, you'll sit there for hours. If you don't, when I was a real estate auctioneer and doing housing inspections, I lived in Orange County, which would be sort of east of Los Angeles. But I would have to go into LA on the far side of LA to do a lot of my work. If I wasn't heading back home by like 1:30, maybe 2, like I was heading back home at 1:30 or 2, I'd be able to get home by about like 3:30. If I missed that window, I wouldn't get home till like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
There was like no point. It was like we just pull off the road and go get a bite to eat. Or you just sit in traffic, and normally you just sit in traffic, mm-hmm. stop and go. It was awful. It was the worst.
Yeah.
It was my own personal hell.
I question the safety of having motorcyclists, you know, zipping through rush hour traffic with bags of Burger King, tossing them into people's windows. But if they can do it, if they can pull it off, and there aren't a lot of safety hazards, then I'm all for it. I think it's great.
Hand out the window. If you can pay for it ahead of time, that's probably what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, you have to pay for it.
You pay for it ahead of time, the guy comes by, here's your Whopper, I'm on my way.
Right.
Cool.
I love it.
Way to go.
Yeah, man.
Real quick, we'll save the face recognition for tomorrow's show with the roundtable. That'll be a good discussion to have. I do want to take just a moment and point you to the Twin Cities News Talk website and the Justice and Drew page. We have a story here. A chilling simulation shows what a measles outbreak could do in your city. So when you have a moment, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page. And just, it's a pretty short video, but the simulation is really, really interesting, compelling, and scary.
Yeah, it's called Fred.
Yeah.
The simulation is called Fred.
What?
Go ahead.
A framework for reconstructing epidemiological dynamics. Fred.
It sounds really scary. I like the name Fred better.
Yeah,
I do too. Hey, Fred. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Check out the video on the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Let's go here.
Yeah, we're up to close to 900 reported cases.
Oh, man. Get vaccinated. Just say it. Quit freaking out for no reason. Freaking is freaking out.
If you want to call in on that, Glenn Beck's starting in just a few minutes. So. Call her show. It's like 800 something something Beck. I don't know. It's all good.
Just Google it. You know, you can find it.
I was listening to
yell at Beck about your vaccination problems.
Pat and Stu will argue with you.
This syndicated talk show that I listened to, a buddy of mine works on. They're on a whole bunch of stations, and one of the stations they're on, several of the stations they're on, has Dave Ramsey after their show. Uh-huh. So they started a bit where they started encouraging their listeners, if they couldn't get in to answer the question they were asking on their show, to call into Dave Ramsey's show and try to get him to answer it.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. We should do that with Beck.
Yeah, we should do that with Beck for sure.
Out of the AP, the warning about zombie raccoons may sound something like out of something of a bad TV show, but suburban police say that they present a serious danger to family pets. Now, they're called zombie raccoons because those carrying the distemper virus often stagger on their hind legs and bare their teeth. Did you just say yes?
I said yes.
So you, so this is something you're familiar with. I don't think I'm
familiar
ever...
enough, yeah.
The only raccoon that I've seen like act that way was the one that was in Incredibles 2.
No, there was... I don't know if that one had distemper.
That raccoon was amazing.
That's my favorite.
I'm trying to... no, this was...
Jack versus the raccoon's the best.
Oh, I gotta watch that when I get home now.
Distemper is a real problem. I mean, there was one time where I saw a raccoon that I do believe had distemper, and I had gone out for a ride with one of our horses, and I got like about half a mile away, and it was on a dirt road, and in the middle of this dirt road was a raccoon just standing there. And I had to get past it, so I went past it. It didn't move. It kind of like watched us, kind of, and then I kind of left it there. I was like, whatever, that was weird. And then I came back. 2 hours later, it was in like the same spot. It hadn't moved.
Yeah, because it was a zombie.
Yeah, it was a zombie.
It wasn't a possum?
Man, it was not a possum. But
an invasive sloth?
I can tell you, though, I don't know if I've ever made a horse run as fast as I did. When I was like, oh my God, that raccoon is still there, and I still need to get past it to get home. We are running. But it didn't move.
We are running.
I'm sure, and I'll have to find them, I'm sure that there are YouTube videos of zombie raccoons, because I've never seen the video of a distempered virus zombie raccoon staggering on their hind legs and baring their teeth. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
YouTube video.
If a raccoon... we used to have, when I lived in Central Florida, in Ocala, we had tons of raccoons. And we had dogs, and we fed our dogs outside when we lived there. And the
fed them raccoons?
Yes.
Weird.
And the raccoons would come up, and they'd eat the dog food. And it was common. Right. You know, it wasn't a big deal. If any of them ever stood up on their hind legs and bared their teeth and just sort of staggered around there, I don't know what I would have done.
When you realize that you had a raccoon problem with them eating your dog food?
We didn't consider it a problem.
That sounds like a problem to me. Why wouldn't you just feed your dogs inside?
I don't know.
You know,
these were my parents' decisions. I didn't question much.
Okay.
right.
Okay. You know, these were their calls. I liked the raccoons in the sense that, you know, it's just kind of a neat little piece of wildlife to see wandering around on your back patio. I kind of dug it.
Oh, my gosh, they're terrifying.
Did you just find one?
Yes. That's terrifying. Oh, my gosh. I just went to YouTube when you were talking. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
That's horrific.
All right, we'll post that up on the Justice and Drew
page. Yeah.
After the
this
show.
This one was so, it was on its hind legs and rearing up, and then it fell backwards.
Oh.
That's hysterical.
What does it change their diet at all when they get distemper, Sam?
Why are you asking me?
Know more about animals than
they
animals.
Eat brain.
They only eat brain. Let's see.
But are they restricted to raccoon brain because of, you know, human zombies always want human brain. So would raccoon zombies brains. Only be restricted to raccoon brain?
I don't know.
That's what I want to find out.
Call Glenn Beck and ask him right after 9.
1-800-something-something-Beck.
Something-something-Beck. No, but this is a serious problem, you guys. Your dog's going to get distemper from raccoons.
Yeah,
your
distemper
cat's going to get distemper.
Serious.
It's a serious problem. I don't know if it'll make them eat brains.
Yeah, God.
They can get coughing, diarrhea, vomiting, tremors, seizures, or chewing fits, or maybe eat brains. I don't know.
All right, I'm tweeting out right now in the middle.
Raccoons have never been.
I just tweeted out a video.
Raccoons have never been known to be picky eaters anyway. So nah. I imagine if you put brains in front of them, they'd probably chow down.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, look
they
at that.
Definitely would.
Look at the hashtag TCNT, and you can check out the video. We don't have time to get to this, but however, out of Boston, there are concerns about.
We don't have time to get to this, but we're going to.
Yeah, aggressive turkeys pecking at people out while walking. These are big turkeys too. Maybe we'll talk about this
turkeys
in tomorrow's
are
show.
Scary.
Well, we talked about this when you were gone during the post show yesterday. That any animal in the like when you're out and about that comes at you is just terrifying.
If
I don't
an animal,
care what it
yeah,
is.
If an animal in the wild makes eye contact with me, instant fear. I don't care if it's a gecko. Instant fear.
You know, you just grab a gecko, right? You just like three fingers.
Nope.
Can fell a gecko.
Nope. It's, I don't care.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Round table tomorrow. Brian McDaniel, comedian Brian Miller, and of course producer Sam, John, and myself will be here as well. Those will be your contestants on the news quiz. You can win a pair of tickets to the dinner, Center of American Experiment dinner with Candace Owens. Stick around 6 to 9 tomorrow. Glenn Beck next.
Call
Ask him
about
turkeys.